I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes from row3.com and quietearth.us. Joining me today, regular co-hosts.
Colleen.
Dale from digitaldoodles.com.
No fantabulous Colleen. No Colleen,
Colleen
the awesome.
Colleen the caffeinated. Colleen the unbelievably awesomely modest.
Awesome. There's a lot of awesome in there. Yeah. Been a good month, but let's look at February. It's coming, approaching quickly. Short month, not a lot of titles released, but
thank
some good
God.
Ones.
Thank God, she says. I did all the homework for January, then realized, oh crap, it's February.
Yeah.
I missed the January podcast.
I kind of missed that one.
You know, I'm kind of glad there was a lot of stuff from December to catch up on in January, because January didn't have a lot of titles.
Yeah, not a lot of stuff that was.
Some stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, but not a whole lot. But
February isn't looking a whole lot better, but there's some stuff.
There is a few things, and let's jump right in with the first title for February. Opening February 1st, Jonathan Levine's Warm Bodies, about, you know, zombies that become human.
A different take on zombies.
A zombie romance comedy?
Yeah, you know, the book Breeders, that was came out, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And this should be something I'm all over, yet somehow I'm just not all that interested, which is weird.
It's very different than Breeders, because Breeders is authentically zombies that fall in love.
Yeah.
And this isn't. Like, that's kind of the premise, but it's very much a story about changing zombies into humans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the premise, the very basic idea is very similar, but the actual how it plays out is not.
Yeah.
Because they're not actually zombies. They don't remain zombies having relationships, which is, I think, why Breeders is so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is different because they turn human, because love turns them human.
Which doesn't happen. Not with zombies.
It's certainly a different take on the zombies.
I am really interested to see how this movie's going to do, whether it hits a note in the public psyche or not. Because, I mean, there's a definite, I can never remember the things, allegory or whatever, in there, like a greater statement about, you know, that's always the thing about zombies, right? They're a great thing for the sleeping public sheep, or proxy for that. So the whole thing about waking up, you know, love wakes us up, kind of, it's just like, seems like a no-brainer after seeing the trailer, and whether or not they pull that off. And
interesting.
God, I'm babbling.
No. I think you bring up an interesting point that I hadn't actually considered. I have seen this.
Oh, have you?
I have. And it was better than I anticipated. It's exactly what you would expect it to be. It's a very friendly zombie movie. Like, it's not really ugly or messy, and it's not really violent. It's very sort of tame. It is a relationship story. It really is a romance that happens to be set with zombies. But I think it works. I mean, it's a fun watch, and it's kind of touchy-feely, and it's great for, like, the teen crowd. And I think it plays well to a wider audience, but it's not, like, if, I wouldn't say, I don't think anybody that's like a hardcore horror fan that all they watch is hardcore like horror movies, that they would even be interested in this to begin with. But if people assume that they would be, then you're totally, if that's what you're looking for, this is not the movie.
More Shaun of the Dead than Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Far, far more Shaun of the Dead. Cool. Not as good as Shaun of the Dead.
No, nothing can be.
No, and it's not as funny. It does have some great moments, and admittedly, I really liked Nicholas, I think it's Holt is how you say it. He plays the lead guy. His name is just R because he can't remember the rest of it. And Teresa Palmer is really good as well. She's the one that he sort of connects with. And it's just good fun. It's very much sort of a feel-good, happy romance that just happens to involve zombies in the apocalypse.
And, you know, February does have Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually surprised this isn't opening closer to Valentine's Day, but because it kind of has that feeling of the romance movie, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
A little bit for the girl, a little bit for the guy.
Yeah, well, this is it, right? It's kind of like the perfect date movie.
The zombie date movie.
Yeah, because the girls go for the romance, because there is very, very clearly romance girls, guaranteed. And the guys go for some action, and there's a little bit of action. I mean, it's not like it's completely devoid of kills. I mean, they're fucking zombies.
It's not the motherfucking lake house.
No, it's not the motherfucking lake host. There is death here, like real killing with guns and shit. Awesome. And blood.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, though. I mean, it has a little bit for everybody. It really is sort of a really sort of nice zombie movie, if you could call it that. There you go. I did enjoy it a lot more than I'm making it sound, I think. I'm kind of giving it a sort of mediocre because it's not going to appeal to everybody. But it is kind of universally an easy movie to like. So there you go. Take that for what you will. Also opening February 1st, one that I haven't seen, even though it has played the festival circuit. Bullet to the Head. Walter Hill, fucking yeah. That's all I got to say. I mean, it certainly helps that Sylvester Stallone is in here. And who else do we got? Jason Momoa, Christian Slater, and Sung Kang, who I know only from the Fast and the Furious movies. He is kind of like the best secondary part of those movies. He is so awesome. And this is a cop and a hitman see their partners die, so they team up to like kill the bad guys that killed both of their partners. It sounds kind of like very straightforward action movie, but it's Walter Hill, so I expect something a little more, I don't know, not stylish, but I think Walter Hill, and I think, oh my God, it's going to be awesome. I don't know why, but I do.
Cool. Well, he has never been on my radar. This is kind of the first time I appreciated his name.
Hard Times, The Warriors, 48 Hours.
Okay, 48 Hours I've seen.
You haven't seen The Warriors?
No.
Please tell me you've seen The Warriors.
I have my list of movies. No.
I haven't.
I'm adding.
Oh
the
my
Warriors.
God, people!
It happens. Relax.
No, this. I'm in shock. I thought for sure you guys would be up on this. The Warriors is fucking awesome. Are you sure you've never seen it?
I don't recall.
I don't.
Come out wherever you are.
Oh, that sounds familiar, but
come on, the gangs. The gang wars, they're making their way from like their own little suburb.
Subway. I definitely haven't seen this.
Oh, dude, it's so good. It's super cheesy, so good. Right. And actually, Harsh Times I saw The Warriors. Dan recommended it years ago. We watched it together, fell in love. And then they did Harsh Times is the movie that he's like really well known for as well, because it was like really violent, came out in the 70s, I think. Apparently it was really good. So I went to see it at the Van City when they showed it on the big screen. That movie is so good. It's like a prison movie where they let everybody out onto the
common.
No, they let them out into like the desert, and then they basically hunt them down.
Oh, what's that called?
It's called Harsh Times. Hard Times. Hard Times. Sorry.
I love a good hunting story.
Hard Times. Sorry, not hard. Harsh. I said it wrong the first time. It's really good. It's very brutal. Very 70s. Totally worth checking out.
Nice.
So I hear Walter Hill and I think violence and substance. Though The Warriors isn't really that I don't think there's a lot of substance there, but it's certainly an enjoyable watch.
All right, it's on the list.
I thought for sure you guys would get excited because I thought for sure you would have seen The Warriors.
No, it happens.
My apologies to assume that. Also opening February 1st, Stand Up Guys. Al Pacino, Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken as old, I guess, gangster types. Al Pacino has just gotten out of jail after a long sentence, and Christopher Walken's been hired to kill him, even though they're like best friends.
This looks so much fun.
It looks like a touchy-feely mob movie or something.
We have nothing to lose. Let's have a good-ass time. I don't know. I got a lot of jeu de vie.
It was kind of not at all what I thought it might be, so I am certainly curious.
I wasn't sure what to make of it. As a touchy-feely mob film, that's not really my kind of film. But the actors are top drawer, so...
I know, something about stealing the car and laughing while you're driving.
Oh, I know, that's hilarious. It's like...
The cops are chasing you, let's go!
Man, this is the future when there's no key and there's like the push button.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know, I really like Alan Arkin. Al Pacino was sort of hit and miss the last few years, but I'm certainly curious to see what they deliver here.
Mobster version of Grumpy Old Men?
Probably.
I can get behind that.
Also opening February 1st, it's not marked as limited release. I don't know if it is or not. I actually have a funny story about this. So this is a documentary about Sound City, which is a like famed recording studio, which is no longer kind of there. But I saw this on the calendar at the Van City Theater. It's playing January 31st. It's premiering at Sundance at the end of January. So it was kind of weird that it's playing one night at Van City. And it's directed by David Grohl, who's the lead.
Foo Fighters.
And used to be Nirvana. So I had emailed Kathy, because my friend Kathy is a huge Foo Fighters fan. I'm like, hey, Dave Grohl directed this movie. You want to go? And she's like, yeah, let's go. This is awesome. So I booked the tickets. And I hadn't seen a trailer or anything. I'm just, whatever, winging this. And then I saw the trailer. And I'm like, holy fuck, I can't believe I have tickets to this movie. This is so awesome.
Nice.
Only because it sort of covers an entire period of music time that sort of I grew up with. So you've
hair
got
bands
like,
till.
Well, not so much the hair bands per se, though a lot of them are bands that I've listened to since then. But I mean, I grew up with Nirvana, Nine Inch Nails, like you name it. And they all sort of started here.
Yeah.
And I saw Trent Reznor in the trailer and I'm like, I'm done. This is going to be awesome. So. That's Sound City. I have nothing more to say.
Yeah, I think you covered it.
are you guys into this at all? No. I don't know if it's really...
The subject, like when I read the description, I was interested. When I watched the trailer, I wasn't too sure. Cause it's
different than the description, right?
Yeah, because I wanted the sense... They had a whole bunch of whiny asses in the trailer. And it's like, I'm not going to listen to or watch a whole movie about people whining about what we lost in the past. It's like, I'm all for celebrating the past. If there's interesting stories in there, I would be really interested. But if it's just a whole bunch of like, ooh, analog's gone. We don't have that sound anymore.
It was real to real and it was cool.
Well, I kind of
now it's all digital crap.
Well, and I kind of got the feeling that the description and the trailer, like, they give you two very different documentaries, because the description makes it sound like it's a documentary about Sound City and the bands that came from there. And you watch the trailer and you get the sense that it's more of a sort of lamenting the loss of Analog.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me solely on the fact that Trent Reznor started there and he has been digital for like a decade.
Yeah.
And that alone is enough to get me excited to see where this goes.
I love, there's a CBC show called Randy's Vinyl Tap, which is hosted by Randy Bachman.
Yep.
And he has great stories around how these things are recorded. If it was in that kind of tone where just not like putting any value judgment on it, just this is the way we did that, you know, like that stuff is really interesting. And there, oh my God, and like Some Like It Loud, right? There's just some really great stories about how some of these albums come together. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that in a documentary around that studio. I didn't see that in the trailer.
Yeah, neither did I. So it'll be really curious to see how this plays out. I will keep you abreast.
Alrighty.
Once I actually see it. But I'm excited. Moving on to February 8th, the movie Dan is most excited to see, I would say this year, but I have no idea because we haven't talked that far ahead. But he keeps asking me when this is coming out. Identity Thief, Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy as, Melissa McCarthy steals Jason Bateman's identity and he goes and hunts her down. But it's funny because I don't know which trailer you saw because I've seen two, and I think the second trailer, the story is not just about that, though the first trailer, that's exactly what it was about.
Okay, I've seen the first trailer.
Okay, so I won't say anymore. But there was a second trailer that suggests that there might be more going on than just the hunting down or the person that stole your identity. And quite honestly, the idea of having Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman in the same movie, it makes me squee with joy.
I mean, Jason Bateman, based on what I'm seeing in the trailer, it looks like the same character. He's played at least two other movies think of. But Melissa McCarthy, like, this is just, like, tits to the wall crazy, man.
I love her.
I love the stuff we've seen in the trailer is just, I'm just wanting to see her cut loose like this.
Well, I'm excited to see them play off of each other. You know, I think that might go really well.
The funny thing is I finally saw Bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a little bit of her character from Bridesmaids, like that just like no filtering of from the brain to the to the mouth kind of thing. A little bit in this character. And it's like, oh, this could be fun.
Yeah, I really like her. We watch her show regularly. We watch Mike and Molly on a regular basis, so... We're fans. I'm game.
I might see it. Depends. If it fits into the schedule.
The Derby schedule.
The Derby schedule. There's an opening.
Let's clarify the Derby schedule.
It's all encompassing.
Also opening February 8th, Steven Soderbergh's Side Effects, starring Rooney Mara, Channing Tatum, and Jude Law. Rooney Mara plays a woman who becomes addicted to medication as a way of handling the anxiety about the fact that her husband is being released from jail.
The other thing about Identity Thief?
Yes, sorry.
Same director as King of Kong.
Yes.
Festival of Quarters.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And Horrible Bosses, which has some amazing moments.
Really?
Oh, Horrible Bosses was, kind of hit and miss for me. I'm still not sure what to make of that.
It was hit and miss, but when it hits, it really fucking hits.
Yeah. King of Kong, you say?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, you may have just sold Colleen.
I may have to see this now.
Okay. Looky there. Looky there.
Sorry, Side Effects.
Yes. I've already explained what it's about. I think this looks awesome, and it's Steven Soderbergh. That's enough reason to see it.
Great cast, great director. It looks too much like Morass of Despair for a Dale kind of movie. I don't know.
I'll drag you out. Come on, dude. It looks awesome. Totally looks awesome.
Not interested.
Really?
Just not my thing. It left me not interested at all, that trailer.
Oh, I really liked the trailer. I thought it looked really great. But yes, Pit of Despair indeed. Moving on. You know, the day after Valentine's Day, this is what I dream about. I dream about getting up on the Saturday after Valentine's and going to the movies to watch Bruce Willis kick fucking ass.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Exactly. There, it's been said. We can move on.
Not sure if this looks any good or any bad. It looks like another Die Hard movie.
What? you know, having just watched not that long ago, because Christmas Die Hard is like kind of a Christmas movie.
Yes.
I know that's a tradition for a lot of people, so I'm not unique on that one. And the thing about that movie that they have not captured in any of the other sequels is how they did not ramp up to the crazy ass pyrotechnics anywhere, like at the very end of the movie. And it still wasn't even kind of Willis doing it. He was still that every guy doing a little bit superhuman, but not phenomenally. This one is just like crazy. Actually, most of them after that have all been like the crazy ass, like feats of like
superhuman.
Superhuman, thank you. And I don't know. It's just like, yeah, you look at this and go, well, okay, here we go again. It's like, I would love to see them get back to what made the original one so much
fun. I think you've nailed not just what makes the original Die Hard such a standout, but what makes 80s action movies so good in general. There was a... Yes, they were crazy and full of like weird stunts and things that were sometimes superhuman, but they still felt like they could possibly happen. And the action movies now don't feel that way.
After the last Die Hard film, I was excited because it had been so long since like any Die Hard. So any Die Hard was like, yay. The whole thing about him running off the side of like a wing of a fighter jet into like
some
freaking semi truck. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like you say, like I the old McClane, in the building, basically in bare feet with glass, thing. Like crap, I have to walk across this motherfuckers. Just like I've had fucking enough, and now I'm going to basically take it out on all you.
It's just become another action movie franchise.
Yeah,
essentially.
It's a Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, except for it's Bruce Willis doing it. I don't know.
Except I liked him a lot better in The Expendables than I have in some of the Diehards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Red. I really liked Red.
No.
Red 2 is coming out this year.
Nice.
So, I mean, they've got a twist on this, right? Because he's in Europe and his son is like some CIA or three-letter agency dude. So. Yeah.
Is it still... It's still long, right? Or wasn't he in the last one?
Justin Long?
Yeah.
No, it's
not. Oh, no. Long was potential son-in-law material.
Oh, yeah. That was what that was.
They had his daughter in there. I was actually almost sad that they didn't bring the daughter back. That would have made it a little bit more interesting.
She was fairly kick-ass in her
attitude. She was a firecracker.
Yep. She was John McCain's McClane's daughter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I actually think you guys are absolutely right. That would have been probably a more interesting team-up. So we'll see how this plays. I do have it on my watch list because I'm kind of curious and I like big spectacular action movies.
I've seen them all.
Yeah, I'm not expecting too much.
But exactly.
February 15th, also opening Beautiful Creatures. This is more of your standard kind of romance with a sort of fantastic twist.
Based on a YA novel?
Based on a series, the first book in a series of young adult novels by Cami Garcia and Margaret Stoll. What's interesting here, it's the story about a girl who meets a guy, but she's like a witch and she only has a bunch of days left to decide whether she's going to be a white witch or a dark witch. And she's counting down, so she doesn't want to get involved with anybody, but she falls for the guy. What's interesting is that the books are actually written from the point of view of the guy.
Oh.
At least the first one is, because I didn't read past the first one. And the story here seems to be much more involved with the female character. And the book is kind of interesting because you learn everything you can about the girl, but it's not her perspective. So I'm not quite sure how this is going to play. It certainly looks beautiful. The trailer is really amazing. They have a great cast. Relative newcomers with the guy, Alden Ehrenreich or something. I say something because I have no idea how to pronounce it. And Alice Englert. But then you have Viola Davis, Emma Thompson, Emmy Rossum. So you've got a good cast of supporting characters. Hopefully it looked great, because one of the things I really liked about the books was the setting. And that was kind of the only thing that I really liked about it. So I don't know. I'm certainly curious. It looks really great. And it's the first of the YA adaptations to come out this year. There'll be a few more that I'm really excited about, but this one is sort of on my peripheral as something to watch. So, nothing else. I talked a lot there. Sorry.
No, I all I have is the trailer to go on. I haven't read the novels and I hadn't heard of the story before. It looked somewhat interesting. Then, like, for me, the real draw was the whole mythology and that whole story. And I wasn't quite sure how that would play out in terms of the overall story. But yeah, like you said, it looks like a really, in terms of even the effects, a very stylistic, beautiful kind of a...
Yeah, it certainly looks really nice. And I'm sure they're hoping that it does well enough that they can spin off to the rest of the book. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on that. Also opening February the 15th, this is very much Valentine material. Lassie Hallström doing a, what is his bloody name? Nicholas Sparks.
Another
adaptation. They seem to be like regular.
The Notebook.
The regular Valentine's tropes. I watch all of these. I can't really complain. I like this stuff. I can't help myself. This one is kind of a ripoff of Sleeping with the Enemy. Like, big time. Like, the woman runs away, ends up in a small town, hiding out from her husband, who happens to be like a cop or something, who was abusive. She falls in love with the guy, and then her husband comes hunting her down. So... I don't know. I still prefer Sleeping with the Enemy, I'm sure. I just saw that movie again the other day, and it's really solid. I really quite like that. But there you go. The updated version, care of Nicholas Sparks. For the kids, I guess this is the counter-programming, right? For Valentine's Day, it's like you go to the romance movie and drop the kids off at this one. Escape from Planet Earth. Aliens living in outer space. They come to Earth. It sounds like they're responding to a distress signal.
It sounds so campy.
Totally.
And I'm so there.
You know what's funny? I read this and I'm like, oh, crap. And I looked at the book and I'm like, this does not look good. And then I saw the trailer and I'm like, damn it. I laughed. I laughed a lot. The whole 7-Eleven shtick with the little...
The you know, air guy?
Yeah.
I was laughing so uncontrollably. Dan's like, what are you watching? I'm like, this looks so funny.
It's always risky, you know? Have they taken the three best jokes out of the whole movie?
I hope not.
I'm there.
Yeah, I'm really curious, I must say.
One of the other interesting things about this trailer has nothing to do with the movie, but I thought it was interesting that the trailer said, 2D, 3D, and real D. It's like they're actually letting people know it's going to be out in 2D as well as 3D.
Nice.
I kind of wonder if they're realizing that 3D is an instant draw for a lot of people.
Yeah, maybe.
10% of the population gets sick.
Yeah.
That right there is a problem.
That's right. If your friend gets sick, are you going to go see 3D with them?
That's a total aside. I don't know why I'm noticing. Like, hashtags are showing up on trailers too.
Which
oh,
I know.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Well, now there's hashtags on like everything. Like, I watch TV, it's like, oh look.
Oh
hashtags.
Yeah.
I'm sure the aliens are going to be coming, and like, you know, when they find our remains of our technology, yeah, they'll be going, what are these letters?
Take me to your hashtag leader.
This whole ephemeral kind of... Yeah, I'm with people time shifting, right?
And it'll change.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
It'll change any day now.
Probably.
For a while, there was at before your name in certain apps. And
yeah, it's kind of interesting how things are going. Also opening February the 15th, the what the fuck entry for the month, I'm sure.
I'll second that.
Roman Coppola's A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III, starring Charlie Sheen, Jason Schwartzman, Bill Murray. And basically, Sheen plays, like, I guess this playboy guy that, I don't know, is losing his shit. Like, I really have, like, no idea. There's like one
the
teaser.
The things in his head
nothing.
Are appearing like in real life inside of his head. So
yeah,
it's just I kind of when I watched this, I wondered if it, and especially I guess since I saw the name Coppola, although this, I think Sophie might be the one with the talent of the next generation, but
yeah. Roman's been around for a while. I mean, he's made some. I mean, he did.
But
CQ.
I didn't make it through.
I liked half of it.
Fuck me now.
I didn't make it.
Jesus
but
Christ.
Is this like his attempt to do like I Heart the Huckabees or Royal Tannenbaums? Because I got that kind of vibe off of it. And I didn't like either of those. And I'm not going to go see this one.
When you figure it out, let me know. I have no idea. I have this, not that it's a hate on, but I just really dislike Charlie Sheen. I mean, very little about anything he does appeals to me. So I'm kind of like,
I can't, you know, I don't know what it is about Sheen, but help myself.
He's a train wreck. He's a total train wreck. You can't look
away from. I shouldn't really be supporting him by watching the stuff that he does, but I can't help it.
Yeah, no, he totally is a train wreck.
Having said that, I have a problem with Charlie Sheen.
I'm not going to see this.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with Charlie Sheen at all. I don't know what. I was watching it, and parts of it were in my head, were thinking back to some of those really fucked up zany films from like the 60s that were around, and I'm not sure what the hell he was trying to capture. I can't even think of a single example that I'm thinking of, but just zany oddball 60s crap, but instead of like a slice of it, it's like an entire film of it. I don't know. It left me not wanting to watch it. Although that said, if I was clicking through the channels and it came on just out of morbid fascination, I probably couldn't look away.
Oh, Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. Moving on. February 22nd, another action movie. This one care of Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Snitch. So Dwayne's son, that's so bad. So the son ends up in jail. The father offers to basically infiltrate the gangs that he was involved with to sort of get his son off, and shit goes wrong.
Yeah.
Things happen, explosions happen, guns happen, you know, whatever. The Rock happens, exactly. The Rock kicking ass happens.
Mm-hmm.
Or so you hope.
Yeah. This whole thing didn't work for me.
Yeah.
No appeal. No. Zero appeal.
No.
You know, surprisingly, I agree. I was kind of curious to see this. I didn't realize this was coming out, but just nothing about it kind of is interesting at all.
No. I wonder how test marketing went for it.
I don't know. And you know, it's kind of sad because I actually do like Dwayne, and I like Barry Pepper, who plays a cop here, it looks like. He doesn't show up in enough movies. And this is directed by a stuntman turned director, so I'm assuming the stunts are probably pretty awesome. But yeah, it's kind of flat. The trailer just doesn't have any energy.
You know, the style that the film is shot in typically doesn't appeal to me either. It's got that really overall dark,
okay,
almost low contrast kind of a look to it, along with a storyline that's dubious to begin with. And it almost seems like it's trying too hard to be a smart action movie. It might have done better just like, we're just going to have zero plot, but a lot of great action. I don't know. But
like Crank.
Like exactly. Crank, yeah.
Go for it, man.
Or something, I don't know. But you say, it just didn't.
Which actually surprises me. We haven't seen anything from Neville Dean and Taylor in quite some time. I hope they're brewing something. Damn. Good call.
I say about Crank, man?
I think I'm going to go home and watch Gamer.
No story crap, but it's so entertaining to watch.
It's awesome. While it doesn't really matter if Snitch is any good, because I don't fucking care. It's not the movie that I'm going to go see on the 22nd.
And what is the movie you're going to see, Maria?
I'm going to go see Dark Skies instead. Thank you very much.
Really?
Yes. I'm really looking forward to this. And I want to say against my better judgment, because Scott Charles Stewart is very, very hit and miss. Like, Priest was kind of sort of awesome. Legion was kind of sort of not. Like, at all. Yet this looks kind of interesting. So Kerry Russell and Josh Hamilton star as a married couple with two kids. Weird shit starts to happen around their house. There might be aliens involved. They bring in J.K. Simmons, who's like an expert, to figure out what the fuck's going on. It looks really cool.
He tells them they're screwed.
It looks very creepy, too.
Yeah, it looks kind of awesome.
You know, I was intrigued at the beginning of the trailer, but as it went on and they revealed more of the story, it just didn't seem like my kind of story.
Yeah, and I'm really worried because, like I say, Stuart has a tendency to really fuck things up.
Yeah.
Like, if they go wrong, they go seriously off the rails.
I was surprised to see, we don't see a lot of Carrie Russell. And yeah. For her to show up in this film kind of surprised me.
Yeah, that actually is, you're absolutely right. She also has a new show coming up.
Really?
I think it's FX or Showtime. It's a period piece set in, I think, the late 80s, early 90s, where she plays a Soviet spy.
Oh, wow.
It's called The Americans.
How very retro.
It's really...
Does that seem like it's going to be ended in three episodes?
Because that's kind of what it feels like. Like, we have Homeland. I don't know what this is going to offer that's...
Oh, no. The thing about... I mean, you know, that is much bemoaned about the Cold War is, you know, there were clear villains, right? And
yeah.
It was very much two superpowers, so... It was much easier to understand than the whole asymmetrical terrorism thing that we're dealing with now.
Very true. I just saw an episode of a TV show that had a plot line about Soviets. I can't remember which one it was.
I know. It seems so weird now. It's like, aren't we dumb with this?
I think it was Elementary.
Oh.
Not this week's show, like not the middle of the month, but like early, the first show back from the year, I think had like a Soviets embedded as secret.
Oh, the old sleeper thing. Yeah. That was always a classic trope.
Well, this is what this is. I mean, they're sleeper cells, and they get activated. But it seems to be a period piece. So, like, I don't know. To me, it seems like a show that's not going to last more than, you know, six episodes. But okay, and I totally off-track this. I'm really sorry. But you're totally right.
Dark skies.
Yeah, she doesn't really show up in things. So when I see her name, I perk up because I do like her. And that's the month.
Hooray.
In a
short
nutshell.
Month, yeah.
Yeah, very short month. Not a whole lot of stuff to get excited about, but there's certainly a couple of titles that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, there's not a lot that's going to drag me out. I might try and pick up some of the stuff that I've missed rather than go out of my way to see new
stuff.
Things.
Yeah. I just wanted to add a couple of different things, a couple of other options for folks that are in Vancouver. The Van City doesn't have their schedule for February out yet, so I'm not quite sure what's playing there. But the Cinematheque is running Canada's Top 10 starting February 1st. So if you're looking to... fill in a couple of gaps of great Canadian movies, this is the time to do it. Some of these might already be on DVD, like I know Goon is, but if you want to see it on the big screen with a crowd, this is the time to do it. Other titles include War Witch, Stories We Tell, the Sarah Polley documentary, Cosmopolis, why this is on the list is beyond me, but apparently I'm on my own there. Still, which actually opened the Whistler Film Festival. The World Before Her, Deepa Mehta's Midnight's Children, Lawrence Anyways, and My Awkward Sexual Adventure. So those are the top 10. And they're playing, I think, twice each. So we'll link to the schedule and you can take a look to see what's there.
Did either of you see that at Whistler? Or was
which one?
Awkward Sexual Adventure.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't squeeze it in, though. I heard some good things about it, so I'm curious to check it out.
I had to laugh. I mean, the purience of the public, but at the... at the box office when I was getting my tickets, it was like that was one of the few shows that was sold out.
Oh,
presumably
yeah.
Because the general public was like, oh, it has sex in the title.
Yeah, exactly. Like young people fucking have the same sort of mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, she says.
Yeah.
also at the Cinematheque, this is actually a co-host between the Cinematheque and the Rio Theater. They're hosting the Vancouver International Mountain Festival, which runs February 8th to the 17th. Lots of short films.
Is Mountain Runners on it?
No. I looked for you. Sorry.
Oh, pardon my language.
I did look specifically for that reason.
That's my one massive, huge regret over Whistler.
Actually, now that you mention it, you should double check because maybe I was thinking of the title incorrectly. So now I'm second guessing myself.
Okay,
I don't recall seeing it, but great assortment of short films and feature length films about mountain culture and the environment kind of thing. One which I particularly want to make note of because it was something that sort of it played at Hot Docs and it's been making the rounds around the festival, but I didn't hear any buzz about it until later towards the end of the year when they were talking about Oscar documentaries. And that's Chasing Ice, which is a doc about the melting of the ice caps, I guess, playing February 16th at 3 p.m. at the Rio. And the last thing at the Cinematheque, they've got a couple of great documentaries coming up, and I just wanted to make note that Frederick Wiseman's Crazy Horse is playing on the big screen. Apparently it looks really nice. It's a great looking documentary, so it might be interesting to check out about Crazy Horse, which is like the strip club in Paris, I think.
Oh,
it was, or something.
That one. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's not the Monument.
No, not the Monument. And of course, Wiseman is famous for directing the Titicut Follies. And it's also playing is Detropia, which features probably my favorite image of 2012 in film, which is a woman and a man dressed to the T's wearing gas masks painted in gold. It's a fucking awesome image. The first time I saw it, I'm like, what is this? I must see it. Not too surprisingly, this comes from the directing duo of Heidi Ewig and Rachel Grady, who did Boys of Baraka and Jesus Camp, the super crazy horror movie documentary. And it's basically about the fall of Detroit. And that's it. Nothing else looks
Hooray.
Particularly interesting. Now I'm done. Silence.
Derby season is starting up. Watch Derby.
So is this mean it's going to be even harder to schedule your time?
No, not necessarily. I make time for you. Actually, I've a couple times canceled Derby, going to Derby because film podcast and that. Oh. They're like, you always leave them for film podcasts. It's like, yeah, they have 7 years of loyalty. You have to.
We will always trump you, damn it. That's always. Right. But yeah, that's February. It's looking pretty good in Vancouver, actually. For January and February, it's had some like really great sort of off the beaten path stuff. So I'm pretty excited how the year started off. Looking forward to more greatness. I've also discovered Shivers, which is a Vancouver Film Society of some sort. They're doing a bunch of screenings at the Cinematheque, and they specialize in little scene Canadian genre pictures. They have a Facebook page, not very much beyond that. They have like, I don't know, 97 followers or something. I it sounds like they've been around for a year, but I've only just discovered them because I picked up the festival catalog. So I'll put a link to them in the show notes if you're in Vancouver.
As we're all scribbling down notes.
Yeah, just in case, because it might be worth checking out. They've got a couple of movies coming up that look kind of interesting. Stuff I've never heard of, so go figure.
Kick ass.
Don't know if this is worth mentioning or not, but the Rio is doing an Oscar party.
Ah, yes.
And from what I can tell, it's what they're just gonna broadcast it onto the big screen, and
I guess so.
They're allowed to serve alcohol,
so that's cool.
I don't think there was even a cover. You just kind of show up and drink and
cool. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, because the big draw would be the beer. I don't know if they can sell tickets to something like that.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, they probably
public performance.
It's a TV rebroadcasting a TV, presumably. Yeah. So they could get in trouble if they. It's basically just a big ass Oscar party. So
the Van City did one last year as well. I'm assuming they're going to be doing one.
Oh, okay.
But we're hosting our own, so hit me up, people. We've got prizes. It's going to be fucking awesome, and I have trivia.
Well, and you didn't think to mention this for upcoming February stuff?
I totally forgot.
Is this Fontana again?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've already booked the space, so the
details.
There
was a slot available?
Well, Samantha's awesome. She's very flexible and willing to share the space.
Nice.
So I'm really excited. It's going to be lots of fun. We had a great group last year, and I expect we're going to get a pretty big turnout this year as well.
Cool.
So it'll be awesome. And we'll probably be doing, the Oscar live chat. It's sort of become a tradition at Row 3. So I expect we'll be running that as well. We'll see how that plays out closer to the date. So stay tuned.
It would be awesome if you get like Zach and Bill out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Zach, for sure. Bill, I'm not sure he'll come over for just that, but maybe he'll join online. We'll see how that goes. Anything else? I think that's it.
It sounds like it to me.
Yeah, I think so. So stay tuned. We'll be coming back at some point. Well, we'll come back with the March preview for sure. We're still in the works with our classic movie podcast.
Oh, yeah,
is
that's
an
right.
ongoing
yeah.
ongoing thing. And also a TV podcast is coming at some point in the near future. Stay tuned for those. And yeah, that's it. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Seven devils all around you. Seven devils.